there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
This is Unbreakable with Jay Glazer, a mental health podcast. Build you from the inside out. Now, here's Jay Glazer.
Welcome into Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast with Jay Glazer. I'm so excited about today's guest. Well, he's my training partner in Unbreakable, but he's also a huge performer. We're going to get to him in a little bit here. He's a huge rapper, huge artist, huge everything. But if you're like many people, you may be surprised to learn that 1 in 5 adults in this country experienced mental illness last year. Yet far too many fail to receive the support they need. Carolyn Behavioral Health is doing something about it. They understand that behavioral health is a key part of whole health, delivering compassionate care that treats physical, mental, emotional, and social needs in tandem. Carolyn Behavioral Health, raising the quality of life through empathy and action. Again, welcome into Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast with Jay Glazer, my guest today. He has had a hit song in Coco. He's had a song that Beyonce has used in Coachella. He's had a song that was used in an iPhone commercial. And usually during the week, you could find him trying to punch me in the face, the one and only OT Genesis. How we doing, bud?
Oh, good, brother. I'm good. Good.
How was that for an intro?
That was a great intro.
Am I far off on anything?
Nah, you're good. You're good.
It's pretty cool. You know, yeah, we've been trained now together for, shit, how long? About 5 years, 6 years? Like
6 years.
Before COVID, right?
It's before COVID.
Maybe before COVID.
Like 2 years before COVID.
Right. By the way, OT is the only guy to come to my birthday party with a gift for me of Don Julio 1942 and then drank my entire birthday gift. So
the greatest, bro. That's the greatest.
So don't invite him to your bar mitzvah. But man, we become brothers, obviously. And, you know, we've trained all these years. We sweat, we bleed together. But I never ask you, and I don't know why, because I usually get always going to this early, how you got your start. Where'd it start?
It started in Long Beach. I'm originally from Long Beach, but it started off doing talent shows and everything like that.
What age are we talking here?
At this point, I'm around 14.
Okay.
14, but I always had love for music. And, you know, back then they used to have music videos. That's what we always lock into. We watch music videos before we go to school. And you're always like, I want to be like that guy. I want to be like that guy. But then, like, in my city, like, the man was Snoop. Like, Snoop was who we looked up to. And so, you know, I bought some equipment, had a producer, bought some equipment. Used to go to high school, you know. I'm inside the classrooms. I used to always write raps inside the classrooms. So I'm always getting in trouble.
Right.
You're always writing raps inside the classrooms, you know, ditching school, doing all kind of stuff like that. Maybe I say at the age of, like, 15, a year after that, me, like, working with, you know, Pro Tools and everything like that with me and my boy in the garage. And so now we start making up these songs that only we like, that only we enjoy, you know, because if you record it, you're like, damn, you heard what we did last night? Even if it was trash, you know?
Right.
It was like the fact that we recorded the song was the dopest thing ever. So I got into this talent show. They used to do talent shows out here in Hollywood, actually. it was this guy who his name was, went by the name of Sean Healy. He had shows. What they would do was they would get the artists, and in order to pack up, like fill the room, they would have every artist sell 10 to 20 tickets for $10 each. So basically you're selling that to your family members, your friends or whatever. And then they probably have like 20 artists performing that night. But then everybody is selling their tickets to 10 or 20 tickets. And now you got a packed,
house. Yeah.
You got a packed house. And now it's like time for you to perform. So they give you a slot. You go perform. I used to crush it, even though without everybody going, without everybody even knowing my song, And it was just like, I was just always great at performing. It went from there to me staying at it a few years later. Then
wait, so how many years? So this is like, how many years have you just doing this?
This is
like working at your craft where no one's watching. That's what people don't get. They think there's an overnight sensation. There's no overnight success.
Yeah. Before I would say like that was like seven, eight years. Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, perfecting my craft. And then my mom told me one time, she was like, yo, why are you doing this? You're living in a fantasy world. Your cousins want to rap. Everybody want to become rappers. You guys got your pants hanging off your ass. You're doing all this crazy stuff. So my mom was not going for none of it.
And she wasn't wrong.
Yeah. No, she wasn't wrong. She was like, why you just don't go to school? Because my mom has her master's. So why you just don't go to school? Why you just can't be like her brother's kids. She always goes, why you guys get da-da-da-da-da? You always want to rap and everything. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, Ma, no, you don't know how good I am. But she wasn't worried about knowing how good I am because she didn't like really mess with that, And I'm just like, all right, whatever. So it's maybe like seven, eight years later, I'm doing another talent show. It wasn't a talent show, it was a club, actually.
Is it like open mic night type of things?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm performing and some guy talked to me after. He said, hey, who you signed to? I'm like, I'm not signing nobody or anything like that. He's like, all right, can I have your number? I'm like, yeah, no problem. So he was like, yeah, I may have got something. Like, you have a manager? I'm like, no, I don't have a manager either. He's like, okay. So I get a call like 2 weeks later and it was like my manager at the time, his name was Dino. And he's like, hey, I really like this song that you got. We're going to try to work something out. So let's talk about management. I'm like, okay, no problem. But I didn't really care about, I didn't really know what a manager was. I just thought it was somebody that was trying to take your money.
Right.
I didn't know what it was. I just know I was rapping. That's all I knew. I'm helping my friend move. And as I'm helping him, I'm moving to help him move his stuff out of his apartment. He's about to get a new place. So it's like a Saturday. I'm helping him move. My phone is going off the hook. I don't know why. But I'm like, I'll get to that later. We still got stuff in the truck and we moving. Got the refrigerator, picking up the refrigerator. My phone is just ringing, whatever. So I pick up the phone and then Dino calls. He's like, yo, 50 want to get on the phone with you. I'm like, 50? Who? 50? You talking about 50 Cent? I'm like, 50? 50 Cent? Yeah, he's like, I want to get on the phone with you. I'm like, hell nah. He's like, nah, because I'm like, I'm blown. I'm moving refrigerators right now. So he said, yeah, give me a minute. So we get on three-way. He has like assistant. He's like, yeah, hey, how you doing, OT? Yeah, this is guy.
This is you and 50 Cent his assistant.
So it's me, my manager at the time, 50's assistant, and then 50's assistant about to put 50 on the phone.
Okay.
So he's like, yeah, this guy really interesting. His name is 50 Cent. Hold on 1 second. I'm like, all right. He's like, yo. I'm like, and if you know 50 and you, well, you familiar with his music, you're like, oh, that's 50 on the phone. So now me and 50's talking and he cracking jokes the whole time. He like, look, I'm gonna sign you to a deal. I'm gonna sign you to a single deal and see how that goes. And at that time, I didn't even know what the single deal meant either. But basically, if you don't know what a single deal is like, I'm signing you to one song right here, like, for a single, not an album, not a couple years, not a like one song. And we see how this going, whatever. So now I'm happy. He's like, I know what you're going to do. Don't go back to your hood telling everybody you're super rich. Because I know that's what you're going to do. And I just started laughing. He was like, you know what? I'm going to come to L.A. I'm going to come see you. I have a mixer meeting with Power 106 and everything like that. So I'm going to come see you. Just pull up to the meeting in Santa Monica. I was like, okay, cool. So we do that. We get the deal finalized. shoot some videos, go out there, run around with him and Floyd. That's when him and Floyd Mayweather were like super, super tight. All right. And fly out there, run around, do a couple of shows, everything. So
what was the song?
It was a song called, the song was called Jackie Chan at the time, right?
Okay.
I was basically saying like we all used to say that we stunt, but it was another way of saying, you know, we fly, you got the flyest cars. I would say I stunt, and I was like, I stunt Jackie Chan. But yeah, anyway, so that happened. And then, you know, he was doing his SK headphones and everything like that. And so I was like, you know, he was real busy. So the song didn't really do what it was supposed to do.
Wait, back up before you even do that. Like, this is what I want people to understand, too. I want to know. I want to get educated. You got 50 Cent coming out to do a deal with you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go learn how to do a deal with 50 Cent?
Yeah. Well, obviously from my manager at the time and my lawyer, it was just like trying to.
You got a lawyer. You got it. You went and got someone.
Yeah.
Did you have a lawyer at the time? You're like, oh, shit, I got to do something with 50 Cent. I'm going to go hire a lawyer.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? I'm going. Yeah, I got to go get me a lawyer because I don't know how this. You right. know, I don't know the verbiage or anything.
Yep.
So I got a lawyer. Obviously, I had my manager help me, you know, find the right lawyer. Found a lawyer, and then, you know, he explained to me what everything meant. And I still didn't know to a T what everything meant, but I kind of had a clue, and I was okay with it. It was just like after the deal was done and the song was out, it did what it done. I'm kind of like, what's next? What are we doing? You know, but at that point, me and him just had a real good friendship, you know, at that point. So it was just like, okay, cool. It was just a single deal. So that's 2011. So, I just stayed hustling, stayed grinding.
So wait. So it didn't do what you were hoping it did.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, like, how did you coach yourself up through that? Cause that's, in a way, it's heartbreaking, right? You think, here's my big break. And man, it's still not there. And I just say, look, I've had it. It took me 11 years to get my first full-time job covering the NFL. And every time I thought I had something, I think year five, I got hired by the New York Post. I'm like, here we are. Here's my full-time job. Man, I got $9,000 a year for the New York Post. That's all I got. $9,000 a year. And the editor's like, where else are you going to go? You got no experience. You have no one else is going to hire you. Where everybody else is in 80 or 90 or 100, we're giving you $9,000. $250 a story for whatever, however many stories that was. So $9,000. And I had a lot of those moments. I thought I made my big break and I hadn't yet. So how did you get yourself through that? The break, but the disappointment of not being what you thought it was going to be.
Yeah. That's one of the scariest things because you're super excited thinking life is going to go one way. And you're actually thinking it's going to go one way because like, this is something that you've never experienced and it's something that you dreamt of and it's happening. Right. So for it to be happening, but still not happen is like, it's so tough to deal with, you know? So it was times when I was like, dang, like they don't mess with me like that. Like, well, we could do this. And I'm always questioning myself. I was questioning myself, like, was I good enough? And I was like, then I sat back and I was like, you know what? I'm good. This is what it is. And I just got to keep, going at it. Got to keep working.
You got to build yourself up while your dreams are kind of, you know, tinkering back and forth, which is a lot of guys, they just quit and walk away from that.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, separates people like you from all those cats that don't make it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough, you know, but you really got to fight to get what you want. This is one guy a long time ago. I'll never forget it. This was a time when they had like MySpace out and everything like that. And I wanted to do music and I used to see him hanging with all the celebrities and everybody, but I knew him. You know, and I'm like, how can I get there? And he told me something very simple. He said, just keep working. And I never knew, it just sounded so cliche to me. So I was like, what, like, that's all you're going to tell me is keep working? But it's the truth. It really is the truth. How simple and cliche that sounds. It's like, no, keep working. You know, it just sounds like, you know, it's like, I'm looking for like, I don't know what I expected him to tell.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But that is, you and I've talked about it. I tell people all the time, look, if you want to be the best, mm-hmm. find out who the best is and do more than them. That's it. Yep. That's the big secret, right? Yep. There's nothing else. Find out what they do and do more than them. And people look at me, our football players are coming all the time and our fighters, right? And I'll just say that. I'm like, find out who the best is at your position and do more. And they're like, same thing. Like, that's what you're going to tell me? Yeah. You want to be this great quarterback? Let's find out what Tom Brady does and do more than him.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Best defensive end? Do more than him. Best linebacker? Do more than him. And the number of people, OT, that have said to me, well, I can't do that. Well, then there's your answer right there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You got to lock in. You got to lock in. And so I'm just saying consistently, I'm just working. 2012 come by, 13 comes by. When it gets to like 2014, and I'm in a club, like hammered, wasted. And I had a song called Touchdown at the time. And it was really like big regionally, especially around like LA and everything like that. And so that's when I ran into Busta Rhymes at the time. And he was telling me he wanted to do a deal with me. And I was like, all right, so, you know, let's go, you know, let's go talk. So we went to the studio, we talked about it. And we did a deal with Atlantic. So I got him a label deal over there. He got a label deal through me at Atlantic Records. And so we did that deal.
Wait, back up. Hold on. I don't want to just gloss this over. That's what you're looking for, right? That's like, oh my God, that's not a one song deal. This is a
Yeah, right?
You're talking about a touchdown. Yeah. You scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take me behind your eyes. I'm like, oh my God, I've worked so hard. You kept working and now you got this. Tell me what that felt like.
It felt really, I was like, damn. I'm like, it's happening again. You know?
You didn't trust it.
Yeah. I'm like, damn, it's happening again. Okay, so, but I was so excited because, you know, I walked in a label meeting and it was like so many producers and artists and DJs, A&Rs, presidents that I've done research on just from me being an artist and trying to figure out who to get my music to, and I'm seeing all these people in one room and they're all like, yo, we think you're so dope. So this is the top of 14. Now, this is what happens. So they gave me some money. Jay, when I tell you I was going crazy, I'm over there getting champagne over here, getting this over there, doing that, to where I'm not even working. You know, it's kind of like I lost myself. Huh. You know, I touched some money that I never touched in my life, and I'm like, I'm just having fun with that.
You're like, I made it.
I made it. But I'm like, I know I made it, but I'm like, damn, I'm not working. So these are, there's months going by, from January. It got to maybe September. From January to September, I didn't drop nothing. And so my A&R gets on the phone and he spoke to my manager, and I wanted to know what the conversation was about. My manager was like, look, basically what they're saying is in December, they're going to drop you. I was like, they're going to drop me? He was like, yeah, you ain't put out no music. You know what I mean? You ain't put out no music, no nothing. Like, they're going to drop you. And I'm like, damn, okay, I got to tighten up. So I tighten up, I lock in. I say, you know what? I got to chill. I'm recording, and I recorded Coco this one night. And so I recorded, I'm like, oh, that's the one, that's hard, right? And so now I have another song, and this is why a lot of the time I say, you got to trust your gut. You know, you can't really let people think for you. If I take an L, I'm okay taking an L that I wanted to take rather than somebody put me in that position and I took an L. So now I have another, I recorded Coco, but then I have another song. This is September. And I have this other song that they were really interested, like the label was interested in. They were like, you know what? We're going to shoot this video. I said, you know what? All right, cool. They shoot the video, big, like a huge production. You know, like huge. They had to spend at least like $300,000 for this video, right? The video was crazy. And I'm like, damn, this is like a video. I look like I'm an artist now. Now I look like I'm an artist. Right. You know? So I'm super excited. The video comes out. I hated it. I was like, what? What happened to this? What happened to that? What happened to this? What happened to that part? And that's when I start learning creatively, like the editor is just important as a director, you know, and how you edit your shots, because there were so many dope shots that I saw. And I was like, why is that not in there? Why is that not in there? And it was a thing where the director was sending to the editor. And so the editors, right now I feel strongly about.
It's his vision instead of yours.
Exactly. And he wasn't even here. Now he's just getting something and just putting something together. I hated it. It was like, and then Bustle was like, what do you mean? Like, yo, this is crazy. I'm looking really crazy right now. To even, it's kind of like, you don't even have no room to say you hate it. What do you mean you hate it? And so I'm like, I don't like it. He said, what do you want to do? Because I got something else that I recorded the other night. And he looked so sick. I'm like, yeah, man, I got something else. So we go and go to the projects, you know, shoot the Coco video.
Did they have to drop another $300,000 for that?
No.
Okay.
That was free.
That was free.
You see how that looked?
Okay.
And so we go shoot that video. And the second I put it out, it changed my life instantly. Wow. Boom. Just spread like wildfire. I would say, Jay, in 2.5 weeks, I was already doing shows everywhere. Like 2.5 weeks. I went in 2.5 weeks. I started off in New York and I saw so many people there, but I only got one song, you know? I saw so many people there and it's like, it's sold out. All of them, they're like, all the shows in New York are sold out. It's like, we got to see that guy. So most of the times you'll go, people will have like a long run with a hit record. They have a long run in the U.S. and then they go overseas. I was going overseas before I was finishing my U.S. run. So overseas, they were grabbing me over there. And like, when, as far as to book me, you would have to book me 3 months in advance.
Wow.
That's how much I was booked. And I was booked every single day. And so there'll be times where I'll go to I'll go to a city and say, if I go to Miami, when I go there, you know, some people are like, well, you can't perform at this spot or you can't perform at this spot or whatever. No, when I get there, I'm performing at every single spot. I don't care if I was across the street last night, I'm across the street tomorrow, because they knew that I wasn't coming back. You know, like once he performs here, he's gone.
Right.
So if he's coming, the way the routing is set up is, if he's coming to Miami, he probably won't be in Miami again for a long time because everybody wants him.
You're there because you're famous because of the one song, but are you then doing other songs also?
Other songs, yeah. I would do other songs that people,
okay,
you know, don't know, not familiar with.
Right, right, right.
You know, and then they'll be like, yeah, they'll look at me like this. And then that comes on, dumb, dumb. All you see is cell phones. People, everybody jumping over there. I perform it like 5 times in a row. You know what I mean? Like, and get the same response. So, yeah, so that was it. That was.
Give me advice to young rappers or performers who was in your position when you first got signed by Fitty and got this deal. Then you said you went out and spent all that money and just went after it. If what you now know could tell the OT Genesis advice when you got signed, actually by Busta Rhymes, and you just went out and spent all that money instead of working your ass off, what would you tell that young OT?
It would be like, everything would be all right, man. You know what I mean? everything would be all right. You know, we tend to always be, you know, get nervous and scared. Obviously, like, we're like, sometimes I got to calm myself down because I'm like, when you're in the know and you don't know what's going to happen next, that's when we get really, you know, we get nervous.
Yeah, living in question sucks. That's anxiety.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that part right there sucks, especially if, you know, it already sucks, but it really sucks when you feel like I'm doing everything right, or you feel, at least you feel that you're doing everything right. It kind of sucks because you're like, damn, I just hope this happens, you know? But yeah.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard to snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering 2 shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I want to go back also. When you get signed by Fitty, do you get money up front, or is it based on sales of what he does?
Yeah, I would get money up front. It wouldn't be that much.
Not that much. Not going back to the hood telling everybody I'm rich.
No. Hell no.
Is there a lot of money when you first sign that big record deal when you sign with Busta, or does it come after
That was a lot of money right there. But then what you don't know, what people don't know, is you have to pay that back, you know?
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
It's an advance.
It's an advance. Yeah, it's an advance.
Oh.
And they're like, you know what? This is your budget. This is it. But, you know, you pay it back through your sales. You know what I mean? And everything like that. But
so if they cut you, though, like you said, they were almost going to cut you if you didn't start coming out with stuff.
Yeah.
You still got to pay that back? Or no,
just... I wouldn't have to pay it. I would have just been a title. But I wish they would have cut me. Because if they would have cut me right then and there, then all that money, 100% of everything would have been mine.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have had Coco out there as a video yet.
No, but the thing is, when it happened, it just happened. Like, I just put it up on YouTube and it just went. So they didn't even work it at radio yet. They didn't work it at any. It just went.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that part. Oh,
yeah. So that was the craziest thing about that record, because that record just shot like wildfire.
After that, again, you have a little success there, right? A lot of success with Coco. What was the thing that your next step, I guess, where you're like, oh man, no, okay, I'm stringing some things together here. I'm kind of a big deal around here.
Yeah, I was always thinking that, you know, I was like, you know what, I'm a big deal, but everybody kept saying, yo, what's next? What's next? What's next? Just you deal with it, like, oh yeah, then you hear the one hit wonder thing, you hear it all day. So you know, I just buckled down, and then I had a song called Cut It right after that. And I dropped it. It went double platinum right out the gate. Bam.
Really?
Yeah. So So I just knew I was on fire then. You know, I was like, nah, I can't stop me now.
So when you're hearing the one hit wonder stuff, does that scare you more or does it motivate you more?
It's motivating in a way, but then it's kind of scary because you kind of like, you don't know what somebody else is going to think about your music, you know? You know, I know that this song doesn't sound like this song. This song may not sound like this song. This song may not sound like this song. So you're really like, it is motivating, but it's like, maybe this can go wrong.
Right, because it's not full control.
Exactly. There you go.
You know, again, the early days of my career, I would think, I couldn't understand why someone wouldn't hire me. Like, it was 11 years of getting turned down and rejected. And I'm like, I knew I built a better mousetrap than everybody else.
Yeah.
But I learned just because you build a better mousetrap doesn't mean everybody wants to buy it. And that was hard for me.
Right. It's kind of like, oh, if somebody said that to me and I was a basketball player, I'm like, okay, I can't wait to get the ball.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're in full control of that.
Yes.
But, you know what I mean? But in here, it's like, oh, wow, we have to, you know, we gotta hear it. If we like it, we like it. If we don't, we don't.
What's the coolest thing that's happened to you on your journey in your career?
I would say the coolest thing that happened to me would be like me performing and watching people like cry. I ain't seen nobody cry since Michael Jackson. I had a show in Taiwan, and I'm seeing men and they're crying. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God, you know what I mean? Or when I get off the plane, they're like, oh, wow. You know what I mean? And that part right there is like, it's super, super dope because you're looking at yourself and you're like, damn, I work so hard, but damn, I mean so much to somebody who I don't even know.
That's cool. That's you lifting people up and being of service.
Yeah.
Now, but just doing something you love, that's the ultimate prize.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty damn cool. What's the biggest thing that's happened? Like a celebrity that's recognized you. So I'm a big fan. And you're like, oh my God, this just happened?
Yeah. My it would have to be, well, of course, Beyonce. But as far as like sports, I would have to say, Allen Iverson. He came up to me in the club. He was like, yo, you the GOAT. I was like, what? You got to know what that stuff felt like to me. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know? I'm like, yo, this is the dude that crossed Mike.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? Telling me I'm the GOAT. So yeah, like as far as like sports, it would have to be him. Like I'm cool with, you know, with LeBron and all them guys too. But the one that came, like for somebody to come up to me and be like, yo, you the GOAT, bro. You just don't know. I'm telling you right now, you da da da. Like having that full conversation with me for like 30 minutes, it was like AI.
How did it come that Beyonce used your song? Like, how's that for Coachella? How does that go down? And yeah,
this is crazy because I had a show in North Carolina. I'll never forget. I had a show in North Carolina, and then I had an after party appearance. And so I did the show. I had an after party appearance. When I was driving, the after party was like an hour out. And so I'm going to be in the car. And my phone is going crazy, but I keep, once again, it's like I'm just ignoring everybody. So I'm ignoring everybody because my phone is on the aux cord when I'm playing music. So I'm just ending everybody who's, you know what I mean, who's calling. Right. I got a long drive. I'm trying to, you know, trying to stay, you know what I mean, turned up. So I'm pressing in. I keep pressing in. And then my brother had texted me. My brother texted me like, yo, you see Beyonce? I was like, what are you talking about? I'm texting him like, what are you talking about? He's like, she on the Coachella stage right now. When I looked at my phone was crazy. My Instagram was crazy. It was bumblebees everywhere. Everybody putting this whole beehive thing with bumblebees everywhere, all over my phone, all over my text. Everybody was hitting me. I look at the show. I was like, never It looked just so crazy, bro. I couldn't even believe it.
So you didn't know going into it she was going to use your song?
No.
Seriously?
Yeah, I didn't know this at all. I didn't know this.
Hold on a sec. Hold on. Back it up here. Hold on a sec. Beyonce goes to Coachella, does one of your songs. You have no idea going in.
No, I didn't know at all. I didn't know at all. So that was the thing. And then later she reached out to management and asked, can they use it throughout the tour? And we was like, hell yeah, you can. You don't have to ask me.
Did you ever talk to her about it?
No, I didn't talk to her about it at that
still
time.
Still to this day?
No, still to this day.
You're kidding me. Beyonce, reach out to OT. You got to be kidding me. Really?
Yeah. And I performed at her show, but DJ Khaled brought me out L.A. They had the On a Run tour. I performed twice on a tour, but I still haven't met her yet.
That's unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. So yeah. Wait, do you, again, I don't know your business. Do you get paid when she sings your song, or is it just like, hey, more people know who I am, so I get paid that way?
Oh, it was she would raise the streams up and everything like that. So yeah, I do get paid because she's bringing awareness, you know.
She raised the streams up.
It was so crazy. So because when I dropped the song, when I dropped that song, Everybody Mad, I dropped it, but it sounded totally different from like the regular club song that I would do. But I thought, I always thought it was dope. So when I dropped it, all the DJs were like fronting on it, like, oh, but that don't sound like the regular OT we know. 2 months later, Beyonce does this.
Wow.
You know, and then it just goes everywhere.
That's unbelievable, dude. That's a cool story.
Yeah.
Man, hey, when we're training at Unbreakable, you better come with some better material like stories like this.
Yeah,
you
got
to chime in and do your part. It's unbelievable. I've been friends with you for 6 years. I never knew this. That's unbelievable. Again, you and I are man, brothers, we're training partners. We hit each other in the head quite a bit, but we open up to each other a lot. And that's what's great about our place, Unbreakable. That's what's great about having a fight team. A team is like, man, you just lean into your brothers in hard times. And you and I pride each other pretty much, you know, and that's what's beautiful about what we have over there at Unbreakable. Tell me just, you know, I always talk about mental wealth, but kind of, you know, going and building your mental health or your physical health leads more to mental wealth. Since we started training together, what's training done for you emotionally, physically, everything?
I love the training. It's so, so important to me. It's so important that even when I'll fly, do a show and fly in, get off the plane, drop my bags off, brush my teeth and then go train. You know, it's so addicting, but it clears my mind. Super clears my mind. I'm always ready for the next step after I train. Helps me so much emotionally. Obviously, everybody in there are like great people. You know, I haven't been inside the gym where you meet somebody and you go, damn, that person's an asshole.
Right. So besides me. Yeah.
That's what the sparring is for. Man, it's just great people, man. Good energy, good vibes. And physically, man, I'm always right. Like, I go to certain places, they go, damn, we didn't know you were kind of jacked up like that. I'm like, yeah, man, what you mean? It's like, so like some of the football players that come in on Breakable, they were like, damn, OT, man, you could have been a running back if you did. I'm like, man, I'm addicted to it, you know?
Like, and people don't know, I do have OT train with our football player. When they're in, I have him wrestle with them. Yeah. I have him go combo, like spar with it. Like he's part of the team, man. And again, that's the thing. It's like you lift them up, they lift you up. That's the whole part of having a team.
Yeah. 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 And I really get them going when I go, I look at them and I'll be like, hey, don't have a rapper, I'll work you, bro. You want to really get to him. Don't have a rapper outwork you, bro.
You do though. You outwork pretty much everybody in there. All right. So here's my last question to you, brother. I ask all my guests this. Give me your unbreakable moment. And what I mean by that, give me the moment that could have broken you or should have broken you and didn't. And as a result, you came through the other side of that tunnel stronger and unbreakable forever.
I would say, it would probably have to be like going back and forth to like jail, you know, like going back and forth, doing jail time, trying to figure things out, having a dream, but still being a product of your environment, but you still want this dream. So, you know, you're trying to survive where you're coming from and still get what you need to get done, you know? And so it's like, how can I go back somewhere so dangerous, but I'm trying to be so positive? And oftentimes I say, like, you know, it's places that, like, where I come from, you know, in my or my old neighborhoods, where it's like, it kind of like forces you to become a monster in some certain type of way. I don't want to promote that, but it like forces you to become a monster in some type of way because you're trying to survive.
Yep.
You'd rather be a shark than be fooled, you know? But while you're doing that, there's consequences for that. So there's consequences for that, but you're like, damn, like, that was the whole thing where we say in our neighborhood, like, I would rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. You know, that's where all that comes from. I stay the course, man. And at most times I go, you know what, let's go this way. Or sometimes I'm like, you know, I'm going to be on this side of town right now. I'm going to chill my cousins on this side of town. I'm going to lock in and make sure I go do this and finesse and figure my way into just being on the right path and not having to put myself around too much of the, you know, danger or anything that'll make you do something, you know what I mean, out of your character. And I just stayed the task, man. And I kept it going. And that's what I think I'm probably most proud of.
Man, I'm proud too, man. I'm proud to call you teammate, proud to call you brother. And I'm proud to call you Unbreakable.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother.
OT Genesis. Thanks for joining us here on the Unbreakable Mental Wealth Podcast.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.